Hello, my name is Marjorie Wingrove, and I'm the host of this show, Death Happens, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio. I've created this show in order to bring death education to the community and to normalize how we talk about death, often an uncomfortable or taboo topic. It's normal to fear the unknown, and I believe that knowledge and preparation can give us peace of mind and lessen our fear. My guest is Ashley Jansen, who is a death doula and death positive coach. Today we're talking about fear of death and ways to overcome it.
So first of all, thank you, Ashley Jansen, for being on Death Happens.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Would you consider yourself a death doula or a death?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I've been training to do the last few years. I'm part of the Death Doula Ontario Network. I haven't been with the dying as a doula yet, although we're all dying. So yeah. I'm with the dying every day.
That's really interesting because I think that I have kind of thought about that myself. I started doing this during the pandemic. I would say I'm a death doula, but like you were explaining, kind of have like a bit of imposter syndrome because I haven't like sat bedside or I haven't held a space for like an actual dying person. Like you said, we're all dying, but someone who is actively dying for a lot of reasons for this particular time in our lives. I feel as the death doula role is so much more broad than people really realize.
And my focus right now is death education, awareness, and I love the idea of legacy work. I do a lot of writing. And it's something I'd like to bring into my community. What leads me to you is what I've heard about you is I was asking around, put it out to other doulas. Do you know somebody who focuses on thanatophobia? Is that how I'm going to say it? I've written it so many times. Thanatophobia? Thanatophobia. Fear of death.
I think I would have to start really early in life. I was a very curious child, specifically about death. I was just asking my parents since my mom said I was at least 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old when I started kind of like talking about death and asking like, where do the flowers go when they die? Or, you know, what happens to that energy, I guess. And then when I was 3 years old, one of our cats died quite tragically. That was something that I was like, oh, where did the kitten go? My parents completely froze and didn't know what to say, didn't want to upset me in any way. So they lied and they told me that my cat had ran on to have a different life. They used the classic euphemisms. And so it made me really confused. I'm sure that I kind of knew what happened. As I got older, I think I was probably around 8 years old when I was like, that doesn't quite check out.
What do you think made you realize that, well, your parents were lying to you?
I don't blame them for it because it's just an extension of the deathphobic society that we live in. Like they didn't know how to approach it. And I have really young parents. Like they were very young.
Right.
And I was very, very young. So I don't really remember quite like what I thought at the moment. But when I did get older, I asked my mom, did that really happen? Did the kitten just like go out and run away and we never saw her again? Or like what happened there? And she was like, no, the kitten died. And also they were grieving this kitten too, because they had kind of like seen it in such a tragic death too. So that my mom was just kind of like, I was like, I didn't know what to do with myself, let alone like explain to you what happened. But why were you so uncomfortable with the concept of death itself? And she was kind of like, well, I don't know. I don't really know that. I've never really thought about it. And so I started to ask myself, why are people so uncomfortable with it? And things started to jump out at me where, you know, we would talk about a family member dying. Why did they die and how did they die? And someone would say, oh, they died because they had lung cancer. They smoked all their lives. Are you explaining why they died and kind of like trying to kind of have that cognitive dissonance? Like, oh, they died because they smoke and I don't smoke. So I must be like free of that. So every like little thing that would be said, I would be like, I'm seeing a pattern here that people just like aren't comfortable with this concept. And then my issues with death started when I was around probably like 11 to 13, I would say, somewhere around there. It was more so around like the judgment of death. Like I didn't want to do anything that would put me in danger, because then what if I died? And then, you know, I was like judged for it, much like the smoking thing. Like I didn't want my legacy to be that, you know, I didn't look across the street and I got hit by a car or something like that. So I was just very hyper aware of like my body and where I was going. And it caused me to be very self-conscious and very anxious. And then when I was 16, I started being really anxious about health. So terminal diagnoses, and I was just really scared of getting a terminal illness. And so that's when my parents brought me to a counselor and they diagnosed me with health anxiety or hypochondria and generalized anxiety disorder. So that was when I like, to be honest, around that time, my parents and I didn't really see that I was afraid of death. I was more afraid of health, and nobody really kind of put those pieces together yet, even though like it was kind of obvious that I was like, what if I have cancer and I die? And my parents would be like, oh, that's like, that's not going to happen. And I'm like, but it could. Like, do you think just because I'm young that like young people don't get cancer?
Well, what you said is so fascinating, being afraid of health and not being actually afraid of dying.
Or being afraid of illnesses. I'll kind of notice that I'm thinking of death as a failure, or like death is my body failing me. If I did get cancer, that means like I failed at living.
Right.
Yeah.
That's such a fascinating thing to hear. And I said something the other day in a writing workshop. We were doing a writing exercise that was about the memories in our life. And it was so fascinating. Everybody's piece of writing was so different and so beautiful, just such a window into how they've lived so far. But somebody said, I want to hear from the death doula. I don't have any more to add than anybody else. But I said, listening to these stories, I said, it's almost like we have this feeling that we should earn our death. Like if we don't live to the fullest, then we've let this lifetime down. And I'm not sure if that's quite what you're talking about. It feels connected.
Yeah. And I do think that, because, and some people would ask me like, why do you feel this? Like, and my family members would be like, you're so young. Like you're so far away from when you would have to really worry about that. I would just say like, I just feel like I haven't really lived. And part of that is growing up in just an unstable family life and not feeling as though I really quite fit. And so when I was 16, I was like, I've lived 16 years, but I feel like I haven't really done much for me. When I went to counseling, so I went to counseling for a while, and even into my university, I went to university for psychology at Acadia in Nova Scotia. I had a professor in university. His name is Joseph Hayes. I definitely recommend looking him up. He works at Acadia, I think, still. And he studies death awareness. He studies mortality salience, right? He looks at motivation and mortality salience. And I completely avoided him for like a very long time when we first met, because I was just like, this is the exact thing that I have been struggling with. Like, he's studying what do people do when they are aware of death. I don't know what to do with myself. Like, I am so anxious about it. And this person is studying someone like me, basically. So, but I also was so intrigued. People want to study this. Like, people want to study people who are aware of death. I don't want to talk to him because I'm afraid that that is going to like make me worse. And I actually get that a lot from my clients too now, that when they meet me, they're like, is this going to make me more anxious about death to talk about it? And then conversely, I was so intrigued because I was like, wow, like people actually want to know and want to treat and want to know like what motivates us to do things. And part of that is death sometimes too, or the awareness of death. Yep, just continued like avoiding his existence. And then I was actually in school and I wanted to be a sports psychologist because I was a gymnast in my earlier years. And then when I got out of university, I did my yoga teacher training. And when I was at my yoga teacher training, there was one day where I was having basically a panic attack in class. And somebody came up to me and they were like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And I said, you know, I had a lecture yesterday about climate change, having a panic attack about, you know, existential like death and stuff like that. She was like, you know, we're all gonna die, right? Like in that tone too. This is when I finally figured out, okay, I'm afraid of death. So at 16 years old, got diagnosed with health anxiety or illness anxiety disorder. And then it wasn't until I was 19 or 20 years old when someone was like, I think you're afraid of death. Oof, I think you're right. Why did I not see this? Even though I was like avoiding this guy at like this professor that was talking about it openly. And I always talk about my funeral to my family members, like always talking about my legacy. But this was the first time I was like, wow, that's it. You know?
Wow. And that was at around 19?
Yeah, somewhere where around like 19 or 12.
So upon having that realization, then you took the path to addressing it.
Yeah. And that even like just lifted so much weight off of my shoulders, like just to kind of realize that. And I do tell all of the people that come to me to talk about this is that like, I believe myself that that's half the battle. Someone will come to me and say like, I'm feeling this death anxiety and I feel like it's going to take mountains for me to get to where I want to be. And I say to them, I believe personally that you even acknowledging that this is something you're dealing with is so much of the progress. You know, just knowing and like reaching out to someone is a lot. So then after I realized that, I felt so much better. Like I felt as if every time I would think about death, I would just know where to put it. Like there was this folder in my brain. Something would come up and I'd be like, oh, we can just file that under death. You can think about it right now or you can think about it later. It's up to you. I was working through other issues too, like self-esteem stuff and just figuring out my own spirituality, which I'm still doing. But I started looking up Joseph Hayes research. And this was, I think my timeline might be a little off, but I think when I moved out here is when I started looking up his stuff. So it was after I'd already graduated. I actually did reach out to him because this was right after the pandemic that I reached out. And I asked him, you know, do you think that mortality salience is going to change now that the pandemic has happened? Do you think that more people are going to be aware? And he did say that they're working on studies on that as well. But with the with his research, I found what's called a terror management theory. It is a body of psychological research, and it's all about death awareness and mortality salience. Just like I said before, he was studying what people do when they are aware of death. And terror management theory, they explain what happens when you're aware of death as you think about your cultural worldview or you think about your self-esteem. So there's two things that you normally do to buffer your death anxiety or death awareness. And that is that you look to your family, your community, your religion, your spirituality, and you say, what do they think about death? And or you might think about, what am I doing with my life? What do I think about death? Do I trust myself to grieve in a healthy way? Do I trust myself to deal with the struggles of life in general? And so both of those things I realized that I don't really have a firm hold on. Even now with the cultural worldview, I'm still trying to figure that out, because the Canadian dominant society, it is very death phobic. When I was 16, looking back, I would say I didn't have a good cultural worldview to buffer with, and I didn't have self-esteem. So of course, whenever I would think about death, it would make me extremely anxious, because I thought, well, my family is lying about it or doesn't want to talk about it. And also, what am I doing? I can see now, I can like give myself a lot of compassion back then. And it's what I usually do when I get like a health anxiety flare up now, is what I call it. Then I'm just like, this is a part of you when you were 16 who was very lost. I look back on it and I'm like, it makes a lot of sense now.
It's funny. I don't know why this became so important to me, to help people through this, to talk about it all the time. Recently, because of the radio show, I've been losing friends on Facebook, and they don't even want to listen. I thought, well, if they listen, they won't be afraid. So if it's reaching some people, that's a good thing.
When I was 16 to 20, if I was a friend of yours on Facebook and you were doing this, I would have unfriended you.
Yeah.
To be honest, because I would have been so, like, just like my professor, I would have been like, can't do it, you know? And I understand that. But at the same time, like, now knowing what I know, I do tell clients or anybody that reaches out to me and they're like, I don't know, like, if you open yourself up just a little bit to curiosity about this, and I definitely don't encourage it if they think themselves that they couldn't handle it, I totally understand that. But if there's like a little piece and part of you that is curious, I really do think just letting in a part of it is so important, because over time you kind of recognize like, oh, I'm listening and I'm okay. I'm talking about death and I'm still here, you know? And that trains your brain to say, well, if I think about death, maybe I won't actually die because of it.
Right.
I did want to say that like, I understand those people, but at the same time, I'm like, if you have just an inkling of curiosity, I just go for it just a little bit, like baby steps.
Yes. With Facebook, I put a post up last week giving people full permission to delete me, unfriend me. It's not personal. You know, we can still be friends in IRL. You know, I said, I'm going to keep posting about death related issues. I'd like people to feel more at ease with the topic so that they can be prepared, so they're not leaving behind a mess. And I think that's my personal stressor, is that right now I'm leaving behind a mess. So I'm a constant work in progress for that, which leads me to, you know, to do some coaching with people and things like that to help me get through my mess. So that's been part of your path too, is because right now, would you also call yourself, do you call yourself a coach?
I like use death doula and death companion kind of like interchangeably. And then I call myself a death positive coach. All of my social media say like death positive Ash. I've gotten a little bit of not pushback, but like, I think when people hear the term death positive, why would you just be positive about death? Like, death is not a inherently positive thing. I think that similarly to what we're just talking about, it's more about like promoting openness, or promoting like talking about it in an honest and open way. Not so much being positive about it, but if you're fearful and if you're scared, talk about it. Talk about why you're scared and what you want to do before you die, and what you would like to do in your life and all that stuff. I call myself a death doula and a death positive coach. Yeah.
With talking about it, well, you just said it. I'm paraphrasing just to repeat it, I guess. I've said before, when we think about our death, when we think about dying, we're informing how we choose to live. You know, if we're not living in fear of the absolute final outcome, like nobody's getting out alive. So that's, it's going to happen one way or another. So by, and not even accepting that fact, but acknowledging it, understanding that it's real, I think gives us more freedom to live. You know, then we don't stay stuck in that 16-year-old girl phase that you were in, right? You don't stay stuck in that fear of going across the street.
Truly.
So you've followed a couple of forms of coaching yourself too. You were talking to me about, and I'm not doing this as somebody who's promoting this because I don't really know Cara, but you were talking about thought work. Tell me more about that.
The thought work practice is something that I started last year. I started that last year, I think right before the pandemic. I still do it. I did some this morning, actually. It organizes my, well, Cara actually says, like, you're kind of managing your mind.
And it's Cara, I can't.
Cara Lowenthal.
Lowenthal, thank you.
I recommend checking her out, but I don't think it is for everyone. For me, I really enjoy it because it gives me a template for how I, not just how I'm thinking and feeling now, but how I want to think and feel in the future about certain issues. And death is definitely one of them, where I find that, like you said, none of us are going to get out of this life alive. And so that is a circumstance that we're never going to change. The premise of thought work is that if you change your thoughts about a given topic, that is going to change your results or give you a kind of result that you are happy with. It'll give you a result that works better in your life. If I go back to the 16-year-old me, the circumstance would have been, you know, someday I'll die. That's the circumstance. It's never going to change. But all of my thoughts were creating a result where I couldn't do anything without judging myself for thinking about death in any given moment, or judging myself for doing something that could lead to death. That was not a result that was making my life better in any way. So when I started to do thought work last year, I started going over the thoughts that I have about death and kind of meta thoughts about that. I'm thinking about death, but then what am I thinking about death? And that's kind of, with my clients, I find that that is the biggest root of the issue, is that it's not that they're thinking about death that's the problem. It's the, I'm so morbid. I'm so weird. Why am I thinking about this all the time? Nobody talks about this. Why do I want to talk about it? And it gives the illusion that, like, everybody else doesn't think about it, which I know that everybody does at a certain extent. The cultural worldview or our death phobic society that we have right now teaches us is that we're looking outside of ourselves and saying, like, nobody's talking about it, but yet I'm thinking about it. So that must mean I'm weird or strange. So the first thing I do for my clients is I'm just like, nothing has gone wrong. Like, you're not weird, morbid. I do a video every Monday called Morbid Mondays. Morbid, like, kind of reclaiming the word. I kind of consider myself morbid now, but it's kind of like, yeah, I'm morbid. Like,
I'm liking that. I'm jumping on that train, Ashley.
When I hear people say, like, I think I'm crazy, like, I don't know why I'm thinking about this, I'm like, it's because you're human. Like, humans are one of the only species that can think about our own death. Of course, that is going to be something that is kind of freaky. And I think, like, the most heartwarming thing I've ever heard one of my clients say, they are okay to be someone that thinks about death. And I know that seems very basic. It kind of makes me want to weep, because like that 16-year-old that was so judgmental about myself, just think about if someone came to me and said like, it is okay that you think about this. I would have just been like, whoa, like that is, whew, like weight has lifted off my shoulders. So that means the world to me that I could let someone know, like, you are not crazy. You are not strange. You are not a weird person because you think about death and dying. And who says weird is negative?
I'm with you on that one. What you're saying is so smart. It's just, you know, you don't want to feel crummy all the time, but there's a way to shift it so that you're okay with the dark feelings. You're not trying to mask them and turn them into happy feelings. So I think what we can share with the listeners is that fear of death is a natural thing. We're looking at the way our lives are going, and we want to make sure we get the most out of our lives. And maybe fear of the end, it feels like we're putting pressure on ourselves to live better. Do you have a website and things like that you would like to promote? Please share that.
Yeah, I typically point people towards my Patreon. I also have a website. It's deathpositiveash.com. Sorry, the Patreon is patreon.com/deathpositiveash. The website is deathpositiveash.com. And on Instagram, I'm deathpositiveash, and on Facebook as well.
And you're in BC now.
I am in BC. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Ashley, I'm so happy to meet you. We're pioneering this death education. And like, how could we be pioneering such a thing? Because it's been around since.
Oh, yeah.
Adam and Eve.
There are so many historical cultures and cultures right now who are not death phobic at all. They have been around for so long. So I don't want people to think that this is everybody, like this is at all of society or all cultures mm-hmm. that are death phobic, because there are certainly some communities that aren't and can openly talk about it. Being a death doula is not a new thing. It's so ancient. So thank you so much for having me. I have a client, so I have to go.
Okay, off you go. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. Talk soon.
Thank you, Ashley Jansen. You've been listening to Death Happens. My name is Marjorie Wingrove. This is Sylvain Esso with Funeral Singers.